All the ladies are like, whoa, this is so amazing. My first question is, how did she not see those things growing? How come it was a big revelation to her? It's like, it's so false, yeah? But my bigger question is this, spot the mistake. Spot the mistake. And unfortunately, friends, that's the picture that we're getting sold as being fun. And we're testing each other out to see whether we're compatible. And then we'll get married and tie the knot. It's an amazing thing how compatible people before marriage become incompatible people after marriage very quickly. And quite often, in fact. In fact, the statistics are, if you live together, the divorce rate is higher. And what's amazing with that is there is this incredible sense of romanticism and beautiful, absolutely hunk of a guy, I think, and a beautiful woman, and it's just this absolute bliss, and it's just wow, and it's so romantic. But friends, it never happens like that. And if it does happen like that, it doesn't end well. And it's another example that I wanted to bring across, that actually we cannot be conditioned by the ways of the world. We cannot be, we've got to be renewed in our thinking about what marriage is, how God's designed it, etc., etc. We're going to just continue just for half an hour, and then we're going to get back to some questions to finish off this morning with. It's just on the subject of intimacy and sexual fulfillment. There's texts. The Bible is full of explicit sexual directive and description. And I can't get into all of those texts, except as to continue from what we started now. I really hope it's not offensive to all of you or to some of you that we're talking like this. We're actually just trying to be honest. These are some of the questions that people have, and we're not trying to be dirty with it. The Bible says that the marriage bed should be honored by all. And so the way we talk about our sex life with others, it needs to be guarded and needs to be honored. Otherwise, we bring a defilement into the place that is our very sanctuary. It's our very, that most intimate place that is actually only for me and my wife. And some things we shouldn't be talking and boasting about, and as guys sometimes do with their mates around a beer, etc., etc. We've got to be careful how we talk about our sex lives and how we talk about sex generally. But just some pointers, some highlights, some pointers around sexual fulfillment. The first thing is this, is that your sex life is often the barometer of your marriage. Often it's your sex life that starts to have problems or starts to diminish in quantity and quality before the alarm bells really start going with your relationship. And I want to just put that to you, that if your sex life is not as you feel it should be, and it should be fulfilling for both of you. Can I say that? Ladies, you're meant to be having a fulfilling sex life. It's not meant to be something that is to be endured. It is something that is to be enjoyed. And it might not be enjoyable all the time, every time. But in the general rule of things, in the general flow of things, actually sex is meant to be enjoyable for both of you. And if it's not, you need to be asking each other questions. I hope out of everything that's happened this morning, it will encourage you, and it's sort of broken the ice for you to have conversations with each other. And then to have conversations with friends that can help you in these areas. And one of the first things that I want to say is that sex life is the barometer of your marriage. Sex is not the end point or the beginning. Sex is the fruit of a good marriage. A good sex life is the fruit of a good marriage. If the fruit is not good, you need to be saying, what's wrong with the root? You need to be saying, why isn't it? What is it? Maybe there's a physical issue. Maybe there's an emotional issue. Maybe there's a spiritual issue. And ask God, with each other, pray and get before God and say, God, help us in this area. And as Heather said earlier, don't leave it for too long a period without getting outside help and perspective if you're not getting to the bottom of things. In our sex lives, we always tell newly married couples, make sure that it's a place of expression, of talking. Sex is not a dirty thing. We did a marriage course the one time, many years ago, and we started speaking about some of these things. And one of the couples came to us and said, we've just come out of Bible college. And the Bible college teacher said to us that it's okay to have sex, because when we have sex, the Holy Spirit closes his eyes or gets out of the room. Yeah. That came out of a Bible college. Please, friends, we've got to get past those conceptions, those ideas and thinking around sex. Sex is something that makes marriage so incredibly meaningful and profound. It's something that God has given for us to enjoy. It's not just for procreation, it's actually also for pleasure. It's to build oneness. It's to build unity in the life of a married couple. It's never to be used as a tool for manipulation. I don't often hear men using it as a tool for manipulation. Because actually, I think for men, there's a sex love language. It's like, I love to give my wife cards, A. I love to have sex, B. I love to give gifts. I love to have sex, C. It's like, C, B, B, B. Strong love language, I like sex. It's just the way it works. Sorry? Yeah. So I had this friend, and he said, actually, he's going to test this idea. And what he's going to do is he's not going to initiate sex and see how long it takes for her to notice. Rory, you know them, buddy. He's the brother of our mate in Cape Town. How long was it, babe?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. He endured. And then he said, listen, babe, can you believe? Look at this. Something wrong with you. Anyway, but I do believe it is man's job to initiate. Man is the one that takes the initiative on these things. And it is wonderful when your wife does initiate, but in the general course of things, actually it is a man's job to initiate. So men, don't be discouraged when you say, well, I'm initiate most of the time or all of the time. Actually, it is your job. Just continue to love her, continue to woo her, and make it a place, make it a moment for her that she misses when she doesn't have it. Think of her. Remember, you're thinking covenantally. You're thinking extending yourself beyond yourself for the sake of her.
I think in that area as well, where Stan just said it's your responsibility to be the initiator. I think that's in it's in a lot of areas of your marriage. I think if you had to ask every single man here, what is the greatest thing you would like your wife to do? And I think a lot of us would say, I want her to be responsive. I want her to be responsive to the things that I initiate, to suggestions I have. Don't always be hanging back. You are supposed to be responding to him. So even in the intimate times when you're in the bedroom or wherever you are, God, he wants you to be responsive. And that is something that it's helped me. I don't always have to be the one bringing the cautions. Just respond to your man.
Communicate, communicate, communicate. Communicate likes and dislikes. Communicate what you enjoy, what you don't. Friends, it's not meant to be that moment. It's meant to be beautiful and intimate. And we're meant to find, as Heather said in that Deuteronomy text, Deuteronomy 20 or 25, I think it is. It says, once you get married, the husband is not to go to war. And what he's got to do, and the Israelites, he wasn't to go to war, but he was to stay behind. And for a year, He was to make love to his wife. This is now my words of what it means. And find what pleases her and what brings pleasure to her in lovemaking. It's a radical thing that. So it was so important that man would come off the front lines and spend a year with his wife to make sure that actually she was pleased in that area of their life. And that's what honeymoon is meant to be for. Honeymoon is meant to be for exploring each other, for enjoying each other, finding out what brings pleasure to your partner. We often say to guys, listen, if you've got a choice that you can, that you need to choose, either I have a much smaller reception and then I can have a honeymoon, or actually I can have a big reception at my wedding and then I can have no honeymoon. Go for the smaller reception. Your honeymoon is an integral part of your wedding day and your marriage, because you're starting to set up patterns and communications in a dedicated time where you and your wife can be together, uninterrupted. So those that are looking forward to marriage now, going into marriage, put that into your thinking and your planning. I think it would be helpful for you. I just covered a whole lot of stuff when we were talking, so I'm just trying to think here what to say. Friends, sex is never meant to be predictable. It's meant to be creative. It's meant to be creative around positions, as I said, to create oneness. Don't discount everything, mutual consent, etc. The bedroom is not the only place to make love. Just be creative. Close the doors, close the windows, draw the curtains. But just be creative. Enjoy one another. God has given you to each other. And God has given you a body to bring pleasure to another person's body and to bring fulfillment into their lives and into their hearts. Don't be narrow in, I would encourage you not to be narrow. For some of you, this might be, wow, I actually don't even talk like this. It's the first time I've ever heard this spoken about in church, maybe. And I hope, I'm really trusting that this is not coming across, it's coming across well, and it's trying to put you into a space of freedom and trusting, hoping that your sex life will get better and better. Be disciplined about your sex life. Say to married couples, those that are not married, sitting here, do you know that one day you're going to have to actually plan in some moments, because life's going to get busy, you're going to have kids and it's going to get busier, that you're going to have to plan in moments where actually you can be intimate with each other. They're like, never ever, but we're not going to ever plan. We're ready to rock. And I want to say, just make sure, friends, that you are planning in time. Because the busyness of life, tiredness, all those things, make sure that you plan in moments of intimacy and making love. Remember what I said last night? It's making love. You are building love every time you make love. Make sure that you are making love with each other. There needs to be, obviously, those spontaneous moments. Obviously, you can't have a life where it's all just planned. There needs to be the freedom of the spontaneity with the planned, obviously. But make sure that there is, when you know that you've been through a busy time, make sure that that gap that comes between you because of busyness very quickly gets closed by saying, babe, let's have some time together tonight. Let's be intimate, whatever it is that you want to do. There's three types of, Tim Keller says this, conservative Presbyterian. He says there's three types of sex, and we need to be having the full menu. There's appetizer sex. That is commonly known as the quickie. Now, if your sex life is in that space where you're only having quickies, understand what I say by that? Durban, we understand what that means. It's that spontaneous, there's no real longevity to it. It's that one of those, quickie. You get that, guys? Adrian, do you get that? No, you've never heard that before, eh? There's the appetizer sex. There's the main course sex. What that means is that's your meat and potato sex. That's your Sunday roast. That's that healthy meal that you need to enjoy, because if you're only eating starters, it becomes unhealthy. And then, of course, there is the gourmet sex, where those special moments that takes planning and time and space, babysitters, that sort of sex. And we really do need to be making sure that we're living in the full range of that. It's great if we're having meat and potatoes a lot. But my concern is that we're so busy that we end up in the space of the quickie or the appetizer. And then what happens is it's not fulfillment. It's more release or that type of thing. It's not that moment of building oneness. And I think we need to be making sure that we're giving time to each other, that we're living in the space of all of that, which Tim Keller says. Appetizer, main course, and gourmet. It's a great way of thinking it through. Friends, can I just say this for those that are married? Some people often get this question. Just to spice up our sex life, what we do is we watch a bit of pornography. I want to say to you, it's actually unhelpful. It's very unhelpful. Because what you're seeing there is not love and not oneness. It's false. Nobody's going to live up to that. That's a show. And if you start taking that show and trying to impose that on your wife, she's never going to live up to that. It's going to put her under a performance mindset, and it's going to make her insecure. That stuff breeds insecurity into your marriage. It doesn't bring life into your marriage. Not to mention the fact that the lovemaking moment is an intimate thing. It's not meant to be there for other people's entertainment. But the idea of that sort of thing into spicing up your sex life, you're going to end up having the very opposite effect in the long term. I want to read this text in Proverbs chapter 5 as we just trying to see here what else would be good. Can I just, because I feel uncomfortable with you now saying this word. I'm just going to say it, orgasm. Okay, I've said it, now I can talk about it. You know, sometimes it's difficult to talk about these things. Ladies, and this is, I think, particularly for ladies, of some of the experience that we've had in terms of marriage counseling and trying to help people have a godly sex life. Orgasm is not just there for the man. It's there for you as well, wife. And so Heather can talk a little bit into this. But I really believe that God's desire is that actually this pleasure, that moment is there for both of us. And we've counseled marriages where they're 5 years into the marriage and the wife has never had an orgasm and actually is starting to not like sex. All you've got to do if that's you is ask why and start talking about it. Because everything in your man wants to bring you pleasure. And like, it's one of those things where there could be something physical, it could be something psychological, it could be something that he's doing that you just need to talk about. And I just want to put it out there so that you ladies don't think that's normal. I don't know what normal is. Normal is different for different people. So there's no bondage for this thing. But I just want to get it out there to say that actually start talking about those things. You want to...
We read a very helpful book that spoke a lot about the sexuality, but it spoke about the emotional tank that a woman has. So, as we all know, God has created us differently. Somebody said very beautifully that men are like gas ovens. You turn on the gas, you put the flame, and they're alight. It doesn't take long. Women are like conventional ovens. You have to set the temperature, It takes time for it to reach the temperature, and it takes time for it to cool down. Now, I don't know why God did that. I don't know why God did that, but he does know. I think it's so that we can all just learn to love each other. So what I'm saying is that in that place of us being different, sometimes for our love tank, for women and for men, as we've said, the sexual act is a very intimate building place. Generally, and this is not for everybody, but generally, the woman is very emotionally wired. It's why we need more foreplay. And why the foreplay can stretch to from washing the dishes to a lot of manual stimulation. Terrible words to say.
In church. With Rory here.
Yeah. Those are the things that it can stretch on. We need longer to be prepared. But sometimes I feel like you men are so goal-orientated. The goal is to get her to orgasm. For women, it's amazing to orgasm, as you will know. I hope all of you know that. But it's not always the end goal for us. It's always the end goal for them. For us, that intimate time and that building thing can be amazing. I just know of some couples who, it actually puts the woman under pressure because she knows he is just trying to get her to that place. And it just takes longer. It just ends up putting them all tense and they're all under pressure. I'm not saying you shouldn't go for the goal. Go for the goal. But don't be so goal-orientated that you miss, as Stan spoke about, building the process of building love. So is that clear? I'm not saying the opposite thing. I'm just saying, but ladies, I do want to say that you should be more often than not, you should be reaching orgasm in your lovemaking. And there are very helpful books out there to tell you how it happens and how it doesn't happen. Christian books, not other things. So make sure you read up. If you're not, talk to each other about it. What's going on? Is there things that you need to be done, you know, during the day? What happens? Just get yourself prepared so that you can have a fulfilling sex life.
You see, with all of these things, there's this side and there's that side, and you're trying to navigate this is where actually women feel like there's no enjoyment whatsoever, and actually it's why would God even put this act that he says so amazing into marriage? And on the other side, you've got men that are performing and trying to. But somewhere between, that's why we've got to speak to each other. That's why we've got to love each other. That's why we've got to communicate to each other. I can't say that enough. Proverbs chapter 5 says this: drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Often when the Bible talks about sex, it talks about a fountain, it talks about a spring, or it talks about a fire. And here it's talking about a cistern, a well. And he says, make sure that you drink water from your own well. Friends, God has designed it, as you will know, for one man to be married to one woman and to drink from that well. It is a well. It is a place of nourishment and refreshment. Carries on and says, should your springs overflow into the streets, your streams of water into the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. You know what, friends? We get married to the wife of our youth. Most people get married younger than older. That process of aging from younger into older, your body changes. What was firm becomes flabby. What was on top becomes below. It's God's way of saying, actually, life on this earth is temporary. It's also God's way of saying, I want you to love the wife of your youth. I want you to create love with her. It doesn't matter what she looks like. You know what we found, friends? There's a growing sense in today's world where men are putting pressure on their wives to have all sorts of surgeries and implants and all sorts of stuff. If the reason for doing that, and I understand there's medical reasons why boob jobs happen and all those things happen. But can I say this? Husband, if you are doing that to boast or for some selfish reason, it is only going to put insecurity into your wife. It continues to say here, it says, a loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. God has designed it that a woman's breasts will satisfy, whether they are young breasts or whether they are older breasts, they will satisfy a husband without surgery. And you guys have got to make all your calls around those things. I'm just saying, ask the question why. I want to say, wife, if you are doing that because you are insecure, get before God and say, God, deal with my fear. You see, it's all about why. What's your motivation for doing that? You can do one thing, you can do the same thing, but with different motivations, and one be unhelpful and one be very helpful. And I just want to bring that up here. There's a growing sense of that around the world, because those sorts of operations are becoming cheaper or more affordable. And so there's this incredible pressure. The Bible says, husband, be the savior of your wife, meaning be the preserver of your wife in Ephesians 5. That means preserve her body. It means preserve your speech towards her. Preserve her in every way, because she is a gift to you to be enjoyed for the rest of your life. It carries on here. It says, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. It could also be translated by her lovemaking. May you ever be captivated by her lovemaking. God has designed it that one man with one woman for the rest of their lives never becomes boring as they make love. It's captivating. And my prayer is that every single one of you would have a captivating sex life. And an ever-increasingly captivating sex life, even when you get older into your 70s and 80s, and your sex life is not what it used to be because of physical things that happen to your body, your intimate life just continues to grow, even though your sex life may be waning or changing. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? He's saying, why would you think like that? Why would you go somewhere else when God has given you a woman that will satisfy you and captivate you by her lovemaking? And I trust that this time, as I come to an end, is going to get you talking, get you being honest, get you asking some questions, particularly the question why, and bring you into a space with God where actually it's not true that only 10% of Christians have a good sex life, but actually most Christians have a good sex life. And so when you're in the workplace and the talk starts happening, you can say, I know different. I know differently to what you're saying. I experience different, and not only do I experience different, I know a whole bunch of people that experience different. Come and be with us, and I'll show you why. And I'm trusting God, He will lift the lid off you, put you into space. Ladies, particularly, get rid of your fears and insecurities, that you can give yourself to your husband without reserve, and he can give himself to you wholeheartedly. And you can start to build love and make love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Stan. I think, apart from some very useful things that was said, and very helpful things that was covered. What I'm hoping for, what I want to encourage you, and what I believe Stan has done with Heather, is just to open up communication. Because we don't like to talk about certain things, and sex, and intimacy, and what happens between a husband and wife is often not spoken about. It's kind of like we don't talk. And I love the fact that you guys have been able to talk about it openly, freely, honestly, but still maintaining a level of sanctity and just keeping it pure. So I think it's been a great display of the reality of what happens in a marriage, that we can actually have these conversations and we should be talking. So thank you very much.
So yeah, I've worked with this guy a long time. So I just feel there's a scripture in Isaiah where it says, can plunder be taken from the fierce? And he's asking the question. So there's this reward, but it's guarded by something. And he asks, can plunder be taken from the fierce? I know some of you know the story, but I had a schoolmaster who used to put his bag down, and he had a dog that guarded it. And the big joke was, go and fetch Mr. Farron's bag. And when I went to fetch his bag, I've got marks all over me. The dog bit me really badly. So, when I read that scripture, I realized like there's an inheritance that people have got. Talking today about sexuality, and you've given some of that away, and it's been abused. Someone's taken advantage of it. And sometimes it's like you've put that thing down and there's a dog that guards it. And every time your husband tries to touch it, or every time your wife tries to touch it, you get bitten. And the picture I really have of that text is that Jesus came and he took that dog away. He moved it away and he took that reward and he gave it back to you. And so that, because there's some people here, I know it's every time you want to go there, it's like that thing just goes up, wah, 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 wah. I just feel like God wants to silence a dog now so that men and women can live in the finished work of Christ. And if that is you, I'm very happy to speak to you afterwards. These are very deep things. And I've seen over many years people paining with these things and not living in the fullness of what Jesus has actually given to us. So I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes if you don't mind. And ask this question, can plunder be taken from the fierce? Sometimes it's such a powerful thing that guards your sexuality and God's access to your sexuality and God's access to your freedom and freedom of expression. All these words they use, like orgasm and all these things which seem to be guarded by something fierce. I pray now in the name of Jesus and with the finished work of Christ, the answer to that question in Isaiah is yes, it can. Jesus, you silence the dog, you silence the voice, you silence the power. You don't just silence it, you remove it. You remove the danger of it, you remove the fear of it, and you give back that plunder. You give back that access. You give back that privilege. And I pray, Lord God, that by spiritual warfare now, we would take back what rightfully belongs to these men and women, what rightfully belongs to their marriages. And I pray the blessing of sexuality would be restored today to husband and wife with complete freedom in their mind and in their hearts, where there's been abuse, where people have taken advantage, where people have touched where they should never have touched. I pray, Lord, we win that back now. We win it back now in the name of Jesus. Amen.